Well, hello and welcome back to the Profit Express. This is Tim Healy. Thank you so much for listening. And while you're on Facebook, you can follow the show at the Profit Express page. Of course, on Twitter, you can follow me on the show at Radio Tim Healy. It's at Radio Tim Healy. You know, the one thing I love about the show is I get to interview all these interesting business owners and authors, industry leaders from all different industries. And I learn things that I was unaware of, and I like to think that I'm pretty well versed in business. And today's guest is James Dowd. He's the co-CEO of Iuvo Logistics. And for those of you who don't know, logistics, they're in the trucking business, freight forwarding, brokerage. And you're thinking, that's not so sexy. Yeah, it's not really sexy. It's not. And that's certainly no insult to my guest today. But in me doing a little bit of research for today's show, what I found out was, and it's something that as citizens, as people, we take for granted, the trucking business is a $700 billion industry, number one. Number two, at least 70% of the goods that we touch, lumber, toilet tissue, Coca-Cola, is carried and delivered on trucks. 70% of the tonnage in our economy is moved by trucks. So literally, trucks are, pardon the pun, driving the economy. So that in itself is, I find really interesting. And again, today's guest, James Dowd, co-CEO of Iuvo Logistics. He's on, and it's not just to talk about the industry and its impact and what you need to know, but they're also celebrating. They were named to Inc. 5000's list of America's fastest growing businesses. So that in itself is a great honor. They're number 310 out of 5,000. So again, congratulations on that, James.
Thanks, Tim. That's
some great stuff. And that's in the last 3 years, you've had over 1,400% growth.
Yes.
I mean, business owners anywhere, for the most part, would gladly sign up year over year for 20% growth.
Agreed.
You know? So, you know, you guys have done a lot of really great things. One of the big things we talked about before the break was, you were really brokerage, and then just 2 years ago, in 2017, you got into the assets, and now you're owning, was it 20 trailers?
We just purchased our, we own 20 tractors and I think 35 trailers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's,
and that's significant because, again, we're talking about, you know, that's a lot of overhead. That's a lot of assets. That's a lot of capital you're paying and maintaining. But especially, and one thing that I want the listener to embrace, that in your industry, you know, given the overhead, drivers, trucks, trailers, and it's a competitive industry,
very
obviously. Costs, bottom line, operations, mm-hmm. You have to be really, and I think the phrase you use, you have an evangelical passion for being, you know, really on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to be.
Absolutely.
So again, that's something that, yeah, as you're listening, you know, even if you're in the services business where you might not have certainly as much overhead, that's why I like to have, you know, different industries on, because it gives people the awareness and the mindset that maybe I should be looking at my bottom line a little more carefully,
right.
You know? Iuvo, it's an interesting name. What's the origin of that?
So I could give you the sexy version or the truthful, and I like to go on the side of the truthful. My business partner was, when you're putting an LLC together, you present names.
Sure.
And the state kicks it back.
Right.
That's taken, and then he was looking at URLs, which
also an important consideration.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he just got inspired by a past boss who referred to Latin quite often,
mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, if we want the company to help to assist, and Iuvo is to aid and assist, so it's Latin for
the Latin for aid and assist.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's everybody." Pronounces it wrong. It's
have I screwed it up yet?
Iuvo. Yeah,
I think
it's all right. last week. I mean, it's
wait.
Not,
say it again for us.
Iuvo.
What did I say? Iuvo.
Iuvo.
Which
is I guess that's acceptable.
Right. Well, better I mispronounce that than like your name. I mean, that's personal. You
this
know what I'm
true.
Saying?
We had just last week. We were waiting on from the great state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting on our registrations, and they couldn't understand why it was delayed. They had a system as Luvo, which happens all the time. They mistake the I for an
yes,
L.
Yes. Well, so yeah. You know, is that a lowercase L or an I or the
yeah exactly. Right.
Well, it's good. We're talking about the name. Yeah. And we've just mentioned it 10 times.
We have.
So that's good.
Thank you for that.
Good for you. Good for you. Let's talk about this. The unemployment is extremely, extremely low right now.
Very low.
Very, yeah. Very low. According to the ATA, American Trucking Association, I came across this fact. At the end of 2018, there was a shortage of over 60,000 truckers. That's a big number.
Yeah.
60,000. And they said that, you know, in this article, they're talking about how it, you know, it's basically affecting the entire supply chain.
Right.
You know. We talked a little bit about it. You guys have, but I like to talk about it again. Because it's a tough industry. It's a tough job.
It absolutely is.
Being a trucker.
You're
away from the family.
Yep.
You're on the road.
Yep.
You know, you're stopping at the Cracker Barrels of the world, and
right.
which is one of my favorite restaurants,
right.
And the rest stops. Your approach is different.
It is. We looked at all those facts, Tim, that you just mentioned, and we all get up in the morning to do something. And unfortunately, a lot of people, it's really to put food on the table and to take care of their family. And
right.
Very few, unfortunately, get to do things that they love. I'm one that does get to do something I truly
yeah,
love.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that I haven't taken a salary in the last couple of years shows that.
That's love.
It is. Well, my wife calls it something else, but it's
well, wives always have a different opinion of that. Yeah.
So to be an over-the-road driver or a what most folks call to drive a tractor-trailer mm-hmm, or an 18-wheeler,
mm-hmm.
You're away from home. And typically, companies make the most money the longer they can keep a driver out on the road. So they don't really have the options. Well, that's not true. They do have the option of being home every day. Those jobs do not pay. Or do not pay what they're accustomed to for the over-the-road
right,
work.
Right. So, if you want to put your head on the pillow every night, it'll cost you.
It's going
to
cost you.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
So my business partner and I came up with the model after looking at the industry and interviewing people and interviewing drivers and finding out what they really wanted. If we could have them home every other night and on weekends, that would be a nice place to end up. So, like any business, you know what you want, but sometimes you take what you can get.
Well, yeah, there's reality, how to get, you know, compromise or, yeah.
So we now had to find clients mm-hmm. that we could work that out. That took a little bit of work, but ultimately we have a good amount of clients and some very large clients mm-hmm. that's exactly what they wanted. And we were able to negotiate some good contracts. So now if you have a contract, now you can go into the investment part of it, saying we're going to be here for the next 3 years.
Gives you some breathing room.
Absolutely.
Some projections, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The downside of it is because you have that contract, you're taking a bit less,
mm-hmm.
which is fine as long as you can work it in your model. And like we were discussing earlier, at that point, now you have the top line, you have the business.
Right.
Now you go and look at your greatest expenses. In our case, it was the our payroll, which you're not going to do it. You can't get to a certain point and say, guys, we're going to lower your salary.
Right.
So you move to the next, and the next was equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And by us purchasing our equipment, we're saving significantly every month, bottom line. And again, I said this earlier, you raise the top line a dollar or lower your expenses by a dollar.
It's capturing a dollar.
Yeah.
Right.
We also brought in, and I failed to mention this, a de facto CFO. Now, why, for folks listening out there, why a de facto CFO? Well, to get a proper CFO with 20 years experience, it's going to cost you $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you look out there, there are guys that either left positions or chose to pseudo-retire
mm-hmm.
or semi-retire that still want to do this, and they get involved in it. The gentleman that we have is phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
and he has really dug deep to learn about our business and they give us an education on the numbers. So we know the business, and with that being said, you can't take everything that they're saying and say, well, yeah, we're just going to turn this over to you.
You got to educate yourself, too, especially on the financial side.
Right. Yeah. And ask questions. Yeah. And if it doesn't make sense, ask the same question again.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. Well, again, you can only have so many areas of expertise.
Right.
You can only have so much time to do so much, you know. Now, you and I were talking in your career, because you've been in this industry, the logistics industry, basically your whole career, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you started out as the sales-driven revenue,
right,
guy, and you've certainly made the change to more of, I mean, is it safe to say, are you more of an ops-minded person now?
I think my love is still the top line. I'm always looking to drive the top line.
Okay.
However, and they don't give out awards for profitability. You know, it's always based on the top line.
Right.
But at the end of the day,
well, that's the sexy number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But what pays the bills and what leads to having an enjoyable life based on your efforts is the bottom line.
Right.
So there has to be a balance there.
Right.
And my partner and I are very different in some aspects and very similar in others.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good
yeah. What your partner? What skills does he have that you don't possess?
Okay. So. Like
what's
I said,
his name? Would you have mentioned his name?
I'm sorry, David White.
There you go. We got to give David a shout out.
He's going to be listening to this. And
yes,
saying,
absolutely.
Why did you wait until like half an hour to mention my name?
Well, we want to make sure he listened the whole time.
Exactly.
If you mentioned his name in the beginning, he might have, you know. Okay.
That's a good point. So I had started with DHL and sales.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, ironically, because before cell phones, and some of our listeners out there don't know what that means, but you know, when you moved, if you didn't have your number, especially when you were younger, you didn't think, well, I'm going to carry this number to the next place I moved to. And you moved out of state, you couldn't do that.
Right.
So you would lose touch. And David moved, and we sort of lost touch. But during that time, he became a director at DHL, which is very high up.
Sure.
On the operations side.
Okay.
I had, before I had left DHL, I had risen to number three in the country in sales. So we both had this coming from different sides of the equation coming into this. But now it's many hats.
You're forced to, as all small business owners are.
Yeah.
But you came, you know, your pedigree sales, his pedigree operations.
Right, right.
Okay. So you both have those solid foundations, and then you morph, and now you're, you know, you develop more of the operations eye.
Well, we're on the phone literally 25 times a day. It's sometimes it's a little bit silly. It's the line will be open as we're independently doing work because we're speaking so often.
I can see that.
That's with him being in Dayton and me being on Long Island.
Right, right. Now, is he originally from Dayton?
He's originally from Islip Terrace.
Oh, okay. All right. And you guys met in college?
Plattsburgh.
Okay, yeah. Very good. And this is the Profit Express. Today, we're having a conversation with a winner of the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing businesses in America. It's, I want to make sure I pronounce this properly, Iuvo?
Close.
Oh man.
Iuvo.
Iuvo.
Yeah.
I have to emphasize the U. Iuvo Logistics. The number 310 on the list of the Inc. 5000, which is a great accomplishment.
Tim, if I could jump in.
Absolutely.
Our drivers who get paid, and every day they hear that name and they see it on their paycheck.
Yes.
Have defaulted to calling us IUVO. They don't even, they've given up. They just spell
now, isn't
it out.
Isn't that a part of the interview process? You can't come on board if you can't pronounce the name, And so we have James Dowd on. He is the co-founder of IUVO Logistics. And it's a matter of, and what I find interesting, you know, obviously the trucking industry, you know, really helps drive the economy here in America. It employs about 6% of the workforce in America, which is pretty amazing. And to help you win the battle for business each and every day, it's about looking at your business, your growth different ways, your profitability and success different ways. And what I found interesting about James's story is how they have had such phenomenal success and growth in a relatively short period of time, and their need to be very diligent and evangelical about the operations end of business, especially in a super competitive business like logistics. And, you know, you're listening, you might be in the services industry, and it might be time for you to reconsider operations, contracts, expenses, so on and so
forth.
Because those things creep up.
Yeah.
Those things creep up, and you can't be, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, we all fall in love with sales, and sales drives things, we all get it, but it covers a lot of sins.
Yeah.
And if those sales slow down a bit, all of a sudden those, you know, those mistakes, those bad habits come to
Absolutely.
The surface, cash flow, and gosh, we could go on. So you've been in the industry basically your whole career. We were talking offline, you and I, and, you know, being the host of the show, I'm fortunate to interview a lot of authors.
Right.
You know. Let's talk about, because I get the sense you're a real reader. What's your, give me your favorite. I know it's one of those tough questions, a favorite.
Yeah.
Your favorite business book.
It goes back to when I was a sophomore in high school.
Wow, I'm not trying to date you, but wow, okay, we're going back.
Archbishop Molloy, old boys high school with brothers that
loved
it. It was a great experience. And the book I was reading fell out of my backpack or whatever.
Right.
And the kid behind me picks it up and goes, hey, what's this? It was Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he goes, Dowd, you don't have to think and grow. You just need to grow. I was about 5'1 at the time, which I got a kick out of. But my brother, God rest his soul, gave me that book.
Right.
It hit me then as much as it affects me now.
You know what? Let me stop you right there. Your brother gave you that book?
He did.
My brother gave me that book. 1992.
This was 81.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're listening and you don't know Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, jot it down as you're listening. Go out and get the book.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. After that, get Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
You mentioned the classics. I mean, these are the absolute classics.
Yeah.
Are you reading something now?
So,
what's on your nightstand?
It's trade journals.
Okay, all right.
I really have become a voracious reader. Mm-hmm. Again, I haven't been raised in the trucking business, and every bit of knowledge out there I need to have, or that I can get my hands on.
Get as much as you can.
Well, it's so much about projecting where you want to be 6 months, a year from now.
Right.
And you can't do that if you don't know where, A, the economy is going.
Right.
B.
We got an election coming up, trade war with China.
Absolutely. And how that pertains to your industry and the trucking industry. It's, not to get political, but if they got their collective heads out of their producers, we would have had an infrastructure deal now. An infrastructure deal benefits everybody in America, but one side doesn't want to give credit to the other side, and it's
blah blah blah. Yeah.
So in 2020, that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It has to happen. Mm-hmm. It's in addition to that, you mentioned the tariffs that affects the steel business, which is one of my larger client base is steel.
As an industry you serve, that's one of your biggest. Yeah. Okay.
So, you have to look at where is that going to go.
How is the steel industry doing in America? I mean, from your perspective.
It's doing phenomenal. There are mills in the Midwest. Now, you don't hear this on conventional, the mainstream media.
But you hear it here on the Profit Express.
Good.
There you go.
they've dusted off steel mills in the Midwest and started them up. And this is why the trucking industry is so competitive now, because you have all of these companies. And there's a couple of reasons.
Yeah,
first, the amount of I think the Trump administration said for every what's the word I'm thinking of? Not restriction. For every
regulation.
For every regulation they add, they were going to take two off the books. Well,
the
ratio over the first 3 years, for every one they took off, 22. For every one they added, 22 were taken off. So how does that affect folks? Well, I'd like to use a really good example. Years ago, and it's probably still the case, in Manhattan, you had to have a separate standalone cooler for a refrigerator for milk. Mm-hmm. And if folks had Brandy Alexander's or anything with milk in it.
Right.
Obviously, space is at a premium. Folks realize, you know, there are certain things that businesses and their consumers, they can figure out. Because if you left the milk out, it's going to sour. You would have a that drink.
Right.
And you would spit it out because the milk was sour. You don't need to tell somebody they have to have, you know.
Yeah.
Common sense.
Yeah, that's the analogy. Yeah. I like, you know, a lot of the things that have come off the books have been common sense, but it has lowered the barrier of entry.
Right.
And which is, that's how you get people starting their own business.
Right.
If it's not too
willing to take some risk, open things up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, that's good. So steel, obviously, and I've heard about that, but it's interesting, you know, from your perspective, somebody who's servicing the steel industry, you know, from trucking. And this is the Profit Express. We're talking today to the co-founder of Iuvo Logistics, James Dowd. I got it right that time.
You got it.
I nailed it. Yeah.
Nine times the charm.
That was, 45 times. Co-CEO, co-founder, James Dowd, and they are newly minted members of the Inc. 5000 list, which is, if you don't know, it's the fastest growing companies in America. And over the last 3 years, they've grown it over 1,400%. Now, here's one thing. I know people are listening, and you hear small business owners, you know, we're, you know, the overhead, the monthly nut. That keeps a lot of people awake at night. It keeps a lot of people anxious. You have, I think you said it was 20 trucks, 35 trailers. You have payroll, obviously.
Right.
You grew very fast. What keeps you up at night now?
Well, you touched on it. So I mentioned earlier that our insurance got pulled, and that was just in March of this year.
Yeah.
So we lost in revenue. $250,000-$300,000 that month.
Really?
So if you're a new company, which you're typically not Scrooge McDuck as far as the profits.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty close, or you're losing money, and that's not unheard of. So you lose $250,000 in a month. It's in revenue.
Right.
That's tough.
Right.
Aside from that, every time I speak to a driver, I don't get off the phone before I say, drive carefully, drive safely.
Right.
These guys are out there, and there's everybody who drives now, whether it's on the Southern State or the LIE, you see folks that are distracted.
Right.
They're texting, they're on the phone. Well, these guys have 80,000 pounds of steel, being the truck and the steel they're carrying. And somebody two cars up is trying to text. Well, they have a lot of responsibility, and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And they take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. So,
there's the life and death element. Not to get grim, but there is that element for sure.
Yeah.
Now here's something I heard. Correct me if I got it wrong. You're going for CDL as the license?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You're going for it.
Now,
are you studying it now? You don't have it yet, or where are you?
I'm taking the test tomorrow morning.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Really?
So,
is it written? I assume there's it's driven part too?
Yeah. So the first part, similar to when we got our conventional licenses,
mm-hmm.
You take a permit test. This is a little bit more in depth.
I hope so.
I've driven tractors without trailers on our yard in Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay.
And I was inspired. My son went down there to work for me for 8 months. He's a Long Island kid. He went to Nassau, Iona College, and totally out of his element.
Yeah.
And the drivers were saying, Matty, you got to learn how to drive that there truck.
Right, right.
And he taught himself how to drive a truck.
Really?
Yeah. And I think out of spite of me, he didn't get his CDL. He said, no, I have to get my bachelor's degree before I get my CDL. I don't want to. So he's got his own reasons. That's fine.
That's all right. He'll get there.
I figured Dad should set the example. And, and once I do that, you can drive with any driver that has the proper credentials, being over 21 and a clean license. So the next plan is going out with the drivers and driving half the way and learning from them. And it's going to give me greater insight.
Well, that was my next. So why are you doing this?
I need to understand. My partner and I need to understand what exactly is involved. It's difficult to make decisions on what somebody's work day is going to be like if you really don't have a granular understanding.
Right.
And part of this was the new trucks we got. We made sure they were, to use their words, they were tricked out.
Right.
And in the trucking industry, a Freightliner or a Volvo is a, these are not bad cars, I'm just making a parallel, is a Ford, a nice middle-of-the-road Ford.
Right, right.
As far as a car. The trucks we got them, Kenworths and Peterbilts, are Mercedes and Lincolns. These guys never thought they were going to get those. So it's equivalent to giving somebody a nicer desk with a better chair.
And that's
a better,
their office.
They're going to spend time there. They if you can do it, they should be able to enjoy it. And that's
So when you get the license, you're going to actually go on the road with one of your drivers, and you're going to drive. You're going to kind of break up the trip, so to speak.
Absolutely.
With an actual haul going somewhere to a client.
Yep.
Okay. You're going to load and unload the truck as part of it? I mean,
I've already done that. We spent overnights in the steel mill loading. I had to learn it. And ironically, the guy that one of our guys that we brought on, he said, "Oh, I know all about that." And that's loading steel. So you can't really you need to know exactly down to the T.
Sure.
How to do that, because it's 50,000 pounds of steel.
You can't go messing
around.
That's
going to go through a minivan if the guy
stopped. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it turned out he was doing it all wrong.
Oh, God.
And I looked, and it was about 3 in the morning, because that's when they load the trucks. And I looked at another truck from a competitor being loaded, and I went over and asked the guy a question, and he actually said, "Yeah, I didn't want to be rude, but you guys are doing it all wrong." I said, "Come on over here." I gave the guy $20.
Yeah.
He wouldn't take my money, and he showed us how to do it. And
well, because you know what? He knows if that's not done right.
Absolutely. These guys.
You don't even want to say what
it's
happens.
It's a fraternity
there.
Out there.
Right.
With these,
they're all helping one another.
Yeah.
Keeping one
another
safe.
He was just being polite. I don't think he would have let that truck pull out the way it was.
I'm glad to hear that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So this is the Profit Express. Today has been a great conversation with co-founder of IUVO Logistics, James Dowd. It's a great success story from the entrepreneurial perspective. The last 3-year growth, 1,467%, landed them on the Inc. 5000's list of fastest-growing American companies at number 310. And we're just talking about growing the business in the mature, ultra-competitive, margin-tight business of logistics. It's been a great conversation. I appreciate you coming on board today.
Thank you, Tim.
one last one. You're still a relatively new company in the scheme of things. One do-over, one mulligan. What would it have been so far?
We would have hired, this is easy, hands down. We would have hired someone with intense, extensive, expansive experience in running an asset-based company from the beginning. Now, there's always that question that's easier said than done, because there's a price that comes with it.
Oh, sure.
If somebody was asking me, I want to do the same thing with you, I'd say don't go forward until you find that person. Sacrifice.
That's
how important it is.
Okay.
And we didn't have that. So the flip side of it is we now know, because
you
maybe we wouldn't have learned.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I say the growth would have been greater if we had done that. But
one step at a time.
You can't go back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on board. Great conversation.
Thank you so much for
having me. Congratulations to you guys
on
the Inc. 5000.
Thanks.
Until next time, this is the Profit Express.